everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene.
Yo, woo!
What up?
We are excited. This is going to be a fun episode because this is a bonus episode. This episode shouldn't even exist, you guys.
But you'll be glad it does because there's book haul and book data. The two most important things.
Exactly. So these two things are fun, they're exciting, but they didn't fit into any other episode. And so we mashed them together, and we've been doing this for the last few years, mashing these two things together where we are going to do a Christmas book haul because, listen, that's fun. That's a nice time.
It's what we want.
Also, we are going to be doing a deep dive. And when I say deep, Raylene really means deep on this one. We're going to be doing a deep dive into community stats. Now, you might be thinking, oh boy, does that sound boring? You couldn't be more wrong. So I created this survey 2 years ago. I released the first one in 2021, and it got 657 responses.
Respectable.
Then I released it again the following year in 2022, and it got 1,532 responses.
Whoa.
Huge growth.
Yeah.
This year, we got 2,061 responses.
Yes, sir.
It's growing. It's crazy. And what it is thousands of people now giving us data on their reading. Yeah. How many books did you read this year? What genre did you read the most? Where did you get most of your books that you read this year? Yeah. What format did you read the most? And a lot more questions.
Yeah, like, and what was your favorite book of the year?
Yes.
And huge. My God, huge. Yeah, that's where the deep diving began, because I really wanted to find out the truth and figure out what was the most, like, the most favorite book of the year. And I think I found it, or maybe at least three. Like, there's three really solid ones, I think.
It's going to be really fun. I got distracted again, really, because I was looking at the stats. God, they're fascinating.
I love the spreadsheets that I made with the stats.
Yeah. Raylene made separate spreadsheets just to go deeper into separate questions.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
The people that are watching the video version, you're watching me suffer because I can feel a hair in my mouth.
Ew.
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 Okay. I'm free.
I'm free.
You guys. Yeah, so this is going to be a lot of fun, and it's such an interesting insight into what our audience and, like, reader buddies are all looking at.
Yeah.
And one of the most beautiful things happened, okay? Because obviously we influence you guys a lot
because we push
books onto you guys constantly. Well, you guys succeeded. You influenced Raylene to buy a book. So deep, and a bunch of people kept mentioning this one book, and she ended up buying it. So that's going to be a hype.
Yeah.
Last night, I got a text from Raylene. She's like, I bought a book. I'm like, what? She's like, everyone kept talking about it in the stats. I bought it.
It was just so intriguing. Like, what? I kept looking up books that I would see, like, maybe 5 to 10 people have mentioned, and I'm like, I've never even heard of that, or like, I don't know what that is. So I was discovering all sorts of new books that were totally not even on my radar, and it's very exciting. I wish we did this more often, but
it's pretty juicy stuff.
I kind of want to save these spreadsheets, or, like, you know, kind of weed out some of the extra information and just keep, like, some pertinent recommendations, because there's some interesting stuff in there. And, like, some of the subgenres people said they got into. I was like, what's goop horror? I didn't know, but now I know.
Goop horror. Okay. This is like when I found out about, what was it? Fungi horror?
Oh, yeah. That came up too. Mushroom horror or fungi horror, whatever you want to call it. There's all sorts of things. There's a lot of very specific subgenres.
It's going to be fun. So.
Yeah.
That's what you all have to look forward to, and we're going to be starting with the haul. We're going to be hauling books. We each have 5 little books that came to us around the Christmas period.
Yep.
Raylene, let's keep this thing fresh. Huh? Let's talk about, what was the last book you got?
Ooh, I love that. Okay, so I yesterday went shopping. on Boxing Day with my mom and my brother, which was really fun because, as I've mentioned before, I think I bought my brother a ton of books for Christmas. Yes. And so I don't know if I said this, though. Yeah, I think I did. I wrapped up all of his books. So he has like 10 books on his little shelf right now that are still wrapped in paper. And put little notes on the outsides of them. So I was like, well, this is kind of weird, but let's go book shopping anyway, even though you don't know what books you have. And so I kind of helped him choose some books. And then I found one for myself as well because we were browsing the like biographies and true crime kind of area. And so I found She Said by Jodi Kantor and Megan Twohy, which is what the movie is based on.
Yeah, I watched with Carrie Mulligan and Zoe Kazan.
Exactly. And I still haven't watched that movie, but somehow it kind of like slipped through my brain that it was a book first, which obviously it would have been a book first. That just makes sense. And I was like recommending Catch and Kill to my brother because it was in the same section. I was like, you should buy this book. He didn't, but because he's like, I don't think I want true crime. I don't think I need that. And I was like, that is fair.
But also, he was just given 20 books for Christmas.
Exactly. I was like, no, that's totally respectable. But then I came across this and was like, okay, wait, I loved Catch and Kill. I'm very interested in that topic. And so I was like, I've got to grab it. And because it was Boxing Day, there was a sale, obviously. So it was an $18 book, but I got it for like $4 or some shit.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
the system.
I was visiting Connor's family in Kingston. And as you guys know, I lived in Kingston for a little while, and that's why I know Connor, because he grew up in Kingston. And okay, listen, I've talked before on the pod about how I don't really like Kingston. That's personal, right? Listen, here's what I'll say. No one can take away the beauty of downtown Kingston. Okay. It might be like it's in the top five, definitely, of prettiest towns in Ontario, for sure. But I just grew up there. I partly grew up there. I refuse to say I grew up there. I grew up everywhere, really.
It's true.
But what I want to say is Kingston has one of the worst book scenes. It's so weird because it's such a beautiful historic downtown that it's exactly the kind of downtown that would be like should be littered with cute little bookshops. Right. There's one good used bookstore downtown, and it's like in an old historic limestone building, and like there's towers of books there. It's fun to go around, but it's the kind of place where it's a real hit or miss, and I didn't find anything there. Okay. And then there's a Chapters.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
There is also this a store called Novel Idea, which isn't very cute, but it did have a pretty good selection, and I did buy a book there, which I was excited about. Juicy. So we'll get to that one. But I was saying this problem to Connor's dad. I was like, I don't get how Kingston doesn't have like a really beautiful bookshop.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know where does? Gananoque. Gananoque, this is where it's a small town near Kingston, like 30 minutes away. And I used to do ballet there when I was 7. So just that's cute. But we went. He was like, let's go to Gananoque. He's like, I have a favorite Chinese restaurant there. We could get lunch and go to the bookshop.
Oh my God.
And Connor and I were like, that's a beautiful idea. Let's definitely do that. So we did that. And I got two books at this really nice bookshop there that was really lovely. And now it was called Beggar's Bargain or Bargain Beggar, something like that. Really, really a very cute bookshop.
Okay.
And it was a mixture of used and new, but the two books that I got were new. So the first one is What You Are Looking For Is in the Library.
I want that book. This always happens.
By Michiko Aoyama. I've seen this book floating around quite a bit lately.
Yeah, me too.
And it looks so, so cute. Everyone that's watching the video right now thinks that I just did such a bad job of showing this book to the camera. I was showing it to Rainleen first, and then I remembered that this just is a like, video podcast. But yeah, so this sounds really, really cute. It says, what are you looking for? So asks Tokyo's most enigmatic librarian. For Sayuri Komachi is able to sense exactly what each visitor to her library is searching for and provide just the book recommendation to help them find it. So it's like what Raylene and I wish we were.
I was going to say, like, how do we unlock that power?
Yeah, how do we get that power? It sounds really cute, really cozy, very bookish. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. It also really feels like a Christmas book with that, like, coziness
and like slight magicalness, almost
a little magicalness, yeah, for sure. So I think I'm gonna really like this one. The other one, I'm so curious if you've heard of this, because if you haven't, I think you're gonna freak out, because I freaked out.
Oh god.
Okay, it's Manga Stories by Haruki Murakami.
I think somebody like mentioned this to me recently, but I don't know really what it is.
Okay, so four of his short stories.
Super Frog Saves Tokyo.
Yep. Yes.
That's one of the stories I'd read recently.
Super Frog Saves Tokyo, Where I'm Likely to Find It, Birthday Girl, and The Seventh Man. They were all illustrated and turned into manga.
Oh, that's so cool.
Versions. Wow, so many receipts just fell out of this, which confirms that I was wrong, and it's called Beggar's Banquet Books.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, there's all of them were adapted into graphic novel form.
That is so cool.
How cool is that?
I love that a lot.
I was so excited when I was like, what? Because I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a really, really cool find.
That is sick.
It was sick. It was a good little time. All right, what's next for you?
Okay, well, I actually have three that kind of go together, and these are books that I bought for myself after my birthday, because I wanted to wait until after my birthday to buy anything for myself, although nobody would buy these for me anyway. They're strange, and I had to order them online. Okay. But they were recommended to me by one of our listeners in the Discord. I feel like it might have been Kira, but I can't remember. Sorry if I'm wrong, guys. But it all started with this one. It's called Now Go, On Grief and Studio Ghibli by Carl Thomas Smith. So I'm showing Ariel right now. Look how cool this little book is. It's got no face on it. And it's these tiny little collection of books called 404 Inklings is the name of the series. So basically, there's a whole bunch of these little books that are all on different topics, all written by different authors. But they're kind of just like, you know, a few essays. They're all like 100-ish pages. Like actually, this one's only 87. So they're just tiny little books. So it all started with this one because obviously I love Ghibli, so that one was recommended to me specifically. But then I started looking a little deeper. I was like, what else can I find? And dear God, there are like at least a dozen that I wanted to buy, but I only bought the three. So the second one I got is Love That Journey For Me, The Queer Revolution of Schitt's Creek by Emily Garside.
These are so cool. They're also cute editions.
I know. Like, they're so cute. Cool. Like, I'm really excited to read them and then hopefully get some more so I can have just like a little section of these cute little books on my shelf.
It's neat.
Because I'm just really hyped. Because as you guys may remember, I watched Schitt's Creek 2 years ago now, I think, and goddamn, so good. So good. And the last one I got isn't a like media one like those two. Okay. They have lots of different topics as well. This one is called Sons and Others on Loving Male Survivors by Tanaka Mishi. So this one is a little bit more dark, a little bit more intense, but something I'm also very interested in. So yeah, these cute little books.
Those are really cool.
I am so excited to have
them. Who's the publisher?
404 Inklings. I think it's a small publisher out of Scotland, if I remember correctly. So I did have to order these online from Blackwell's, and I'm sure you could find them other places too. But yes,
cool.
Highly recommend people check those out because they're so cool.
Those seem so neat. Okay, well So those two that I got at the Gananoque Bookshop, I do just want to mention Connor bought them for me. I found them and he's like, "You want those?" I was like, "Yeah."
Yes,
he was
please.
Like, "I'll buy them." He's like, "Merry Christmas." So they were actually a gift, which is really, really
That's nice.
as I was standing in line with the two books ready to pay for them, I was like thinking about how much money I'd spent over Christmas.
Yeah.
I was like, "Do I really need to buy myself these books?" I was like, "I really want them. I don't know." And then he came up and he was like, "Do you want me to buy them?" And I was like, "Thank you."
Thank you so much. You'll never know what this means to me.
Okay, this next book. This was the book that I got at Novel Idea. And ooh. I've been in there a couple of times over the year. Because like I said, it's the only bookshop really in Kingston. Mm. And this time I went in and I was like, just Ariel, remove your preconceived notions of this shop. Mm. Because every time I've gone in there in the past, I never find anything. And I was like, just be open. Yeah. Maybe things are better. And I don't know if it was me or the shop or what, but I did feel like their selection was a lot better this time around. And so I had a fun time looking around. And I ended up buying, I'm very excited about this, Raylene. I ended up buying Moon of the Crusted Snow by Wabgeshig Rice. Do you know much about this?
I don't know much about it, no, but I've seen it many times.
Yeah, same. Okay, so the reason that I'm excited about this is because Kaylee Hyde, our beautiful Kaylee Hyde, she asked me to buy her the sequel to this because it came out in Canada, but not in the US yet, because it's a Canadian book.
Yeah.
And so I bought it for her, and then when I went to New York, I gifted it to her.
Yeah.
And she, like, went on about how good it is and how much she liked the first book. So this is the first book. Eden Robinson blurbed it on the back here, which is cool. It says, Rice deftly weaves tender family moments with this brutal survival, with his brutal survival scenes in the unforgiving Northern Ontario winter. Ooh. So that all really intrigued me, because the idea of, like, a survival story in Canada is so epic. I remember driving through Manitoba.
I think I know where this is going.
We were driving through Manitoba. It was me and my brother when we were moving here to Nova Scotia. And we were listening to Into the Wild by John Krakauer. And it was it's a creepy, scary book, right? Because it's a man who goes to the to Alaska, which is obviously not Canadian, but is exactly what Canada's north is. And he was like, he just like perished up there because you can't survive in the wilds of Canada. And we were driving through Manitoba and we were listening to this creepy, scary book. And then we remembered there was this massive news story where these two people committed these crimes in Manitoba. This was a couple years ago. And then they escaped and they ran away into the woods.
Oh my God.
And everyone was like, okay, well, we're probably never going to find them. Yeah. But they're definitely not going to make it out of the woods. And eventually they did find their bodies. And it was just like, it was so scary because it gave me this massive respect, and I've always had a massive respect, but it gave me this massive respect for Canadian wilderness. And I always like talk to my British friends about this too, because in England they have woods, right? They have forests.
Yeah.
But listen, if you walk long enough, you'll find an English village. Like, it's so dense. It's just so dense that, like, anywhere you go in any direction, you will find an English village. So there's this feeling when I'm in the UK of, like, such civilized, it's, like, overly civilized.
Yeah.
We don't have that here. If you walk in the woods the wrong way, it's over.
Bye.
And you're done. In Canada, like, you can't. The woods are dangerous. And also, that's the other thing, right? Like, in Canada, we have grizzly bears, cougars, like, all of this wildlife that wants to kill you. And so, the idea of a survival story set in Canada.
Very scary.
It's scary. It made me so excited. And it's, like, a little dystopian-y, I think.
Oh, nice.
It says, as one society collapses, another is reborn. With winter looming, a small northern Anishinaabe community goes dark, cut off from power and communication, with no foreseeable resolutions. And it goes on from there. So
spooky.
It seems spooky and really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, I just said a lot of things. I just went on a whole
tale. I love
what do you got next?
Well, I've got a little bit of a tale as well. So
good.
The final book that I have here is the only book that was actually gifted to me, but it also kind of wasn't. So let me tell you what I mean by that. So, okay, let me take you back to a few days ago. On the 22nd, a few days before Christmas, I got together with my two best pals, other than Ariel, my two other friends, and we got together for a little Yuletide celebration. So we, you know, we did a gift exchange, ate a bunch of food. It was all log shaped, which was kind of funny because, like, Yule log, you know. We're just, that's who we are.
Raylene sent me a photo of these salad rolls she'd made, and it was just a mountain of log salad rolls. I was like, wow. Actually, they look delicious, but you were like, get it? Logs.
Logs.
I was like,
God.
You guys are good with your themed
parties. We had a salmon Wellington as the main dinner meal.
I
It was delicious. But anyway, so before I went over to hang out with my friends, I had a couple of hours to kill after I got off work. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go to the thrift store and just look around, look at books. So I did that. And I ended up finding this book, Days at the Murasaki Bookshop by Satoshi Yagisawa, which is a very exciting find, not only because it was cheap at a thrift store, but also just that I found it used at all is crazy. That's crazy.
It's a brand new Asian translated release. The fact that you find it in a thrift store is crazy.
Exactly.
Also, you texted me. Yeah. You were like, look what I just found.
And I always text you when I go to this specific thrift store. I always find something cool there. And I'm like, check it out. Look what I found.
I couldn't believe it. It was crazy.
But the what was exciting and kind of crazy about this too is that I, you know, when we're doing our gift exchange, I see in my bag of goodies, everything was wrapped up, but I could see one skinny little thing that looked like a book. And then the moment I like locked eyes on it, I was like, that looks like this book. I was like, no way. And so I opened it pretty quickly, pretty early on in the gift opening session, because I had to know. And my friend bought me this book.
That's
and
so
gave
silly.
It to me the same day.
What
the
are the odds? That's just crazy.
It is crazy. It's crazy, but it's also nice because it was a new book, the one she bought, and I was able to return it yesterday, and I used that money to buy She Said. So actually, she kind of bought me that book, I guess, in a way.
You see? That's
so
nice.
It all comes around. It all comes around. But yeah, it was just unbelievable. I it didn't make any sense. And it was funny because it's the only book that I was gifted. I'm very much a book giver, so I gave each friend like 6 books, and I was actually kind of happy to only get one because trying to keep that TBR low, so it was actually the perfect gift. One skinny book.
Great.
Yeah.
I can't believe that happened. That's just weird.
It doesn't make any sense, but
that's odd.
I'm glad it happened.
Okay, well, for me as well, these are the only books that I was like gifted. I bought this one for myself. The other two I chose for myself and then Connor paid for, which was lovely.
Yeah.
But these were like a surprise. I went to Connor's aunt and uncle's house, which I do every year when we go, or whenever we visit Kingston, we visit them and we play Scrabble, and it is the best. I love them so much. They are such beautiful, friendly people. They always get a shrimp ring for Connor because they know he loves shrimp, and they get me Portuguese tarts, which she puts in the oven for me, because one time I talked about loving Portuguese tarts.
What's a Portuguese tart?
Ooh, it's a pastel de nata. It's like a custard tart. They kind of look like butter tarts.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Which are a Canadian thing. Did you know that butter tarts don't exist anywhere
what?
Else?
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
I know. But I knew you would know. Anyway, it's like a flaky little custard tart, but it's like a little bit spiced specifically. Cool. But yeah. Anyway, they always have those for us. And it's just the sweetest. Ah, I love them. And she was like, I have a present for you. And I was like, what is it? And it was Aunt Maud's recipe book from the kitchen of Lucy Maud Montgomery.
Oh my God.
I know. So this is perfect for my growing Lucy Maud Montgomery shelf. It has photographs of Lucy Maud Montgomery and things from her journals and diaries and stuff like that. But also recipes, like from her actual books. These were the recipes that she made and like prepared for her family and stuff. So
I'm so curious what they are.
Brown sugar ice cream. What? That sounds great.
Okay, new challenge idea for you. Just cook everything from that book.
Yeah, even just cooking one.
Yeah.
And, like, that would be really cool.
That would be cute.
That would be really cool. So that was really exciting. She also gifted me volume 1 of the selected journals of Lucy Maud Montgomery.
Oh my goodness.
So if you recall,
it's huge.
I have. Yeah, it is really big. If you recall, I have the second volume. Because I spotted it actually in a bookshop in Kingston years ago. It wasn't in very good condition, so I didn't buy it. But then I was like obsessed with it, so I ended up ordering it online for myself.
Yeah.
I have the second volume, but I have it in paperback. And this is so much nicer. Like it's just like it just feels like a really well-made, sturdy hardcover. And so she gifted me this one, and she was like, every time you visit, you can take another one, because she has all of the selected journals. But she was like, you shouldn't take all of them. It's going to be so much room in your suitcase. And I was like, that's really nice. It's just so
I'm
nice.
Glad she didn't like make you take them.
I know.
Make
she
them
was
fit.
So nice. She's just the best. So yeah, I got this and I'm really excited about it. As you know, I'm in my letters era, but I can really easily see that going
journals.
Into and becoming a journals and diaries era.
Totally.
Well. Very, very similar kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. It's like, you know, intimate writings of of people, whether mm-hmm. they're to someone or to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, we did good, guys. We did very good. We got some cute books. But now, la pièce de résistance, the cherry on this brown sugar ice cream sundae.
Yes, exactly.
We sent each other books, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So, we usually, I don't remember if we had a theme last year. I think we usually just send each other whatever the heck we want to send each other.
Usually it's a free-for-all.
But this time I said to her, I remember, I texted Riley and I was like, I've got a crazy idea.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it when I first heard this.
I was like, Riley, what if this year we just send each other one book? Because that was the other thing. We were getting to the point where we keep sending each other like two or three books. And I'm like, we just send each other one book this year, but it has to be a book that costs over $50. This is a wild idea in a lot of different directions. And we texted about it first and communicated like, that this was a price point that worked for both of us. So don't worry. We like communicated. It wasn't like, you know, like a Secret Santa where it's like, you've got to spend $100 on a stranger or whatever. No, we're best friends. So we're comfortable cool. with the price point. But Raylene, I remember you texting, you're like, no.
I was opposed to that idea.
You did not like the idea.
I just didn't think I'd be able to think of anything.
Yes, exactly. Specific, you were like, what would that even be? I'm like, I don't know. It could be anything. Yeah. That's kind of it's like a totally different type of book that I don't think usually get.
Something that I would never get for myself. Something you would never get for me. Something no one else would ever get for me either. So it is, it opens up the possibilities a little bit. And I have zero clue what this could possibly be.
We also got each other a little something that is not book related. Oh, yeah, I am annoyed because I paid for fast shipping and did not arrive. Well, it says it made it to your town, but it hasn't actually been delivered to your house yet. Right. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I've got a package. And quite frankly, I'm extremely excited.
You've been staring at it for a while, I'm sure.
I forgot we were doing this today because I hid this package out of sight, out of mind, and that worked. Quite frankly, I forgot about it.
That's really good.
But now I'm dying to know. So I want to go first.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so I'm cutting the tape. Here we go. Cutting the tape with my little ceramic blade.
Oh, yeah.
A little slicey slice. I have literally no idea what this could be. This is so wild. Whoa.
You like, do you feel the...
Whoa,
it's all sealed and cool.
First of all, let's talk. I don't even look at the title yet. This is beautiful.
Yay.
This is a beautiful book. Okay, it says, a book on books. Ooh! New aesthetics in book design. Wow. As digital screens continue to take over modern lives, the role of books on paper may seem to hang precariously in the balance. However, they will always have a special place in society due to the distinct ways with which their materiality can stir the senses and evoke emotions, simply as beautiful objects. Am I not always saying that?
You just said that the other day.
Really? I literally said that the other day. This is so cool. Okay, I'm going to carefully open the plastic. Yeah, you tell us how you found this.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of hard, honestly, to find things
based on... It was a tricky puzzle.
Yeah, it was a tricky puzzle. What I ended up doing is I was just looking... Like, I just Googled gifty books or books over $50, and it was not giving me a lot. It was mostly I was finding like really expensive books, and so I was like, oh god, this isn't what I'm looking for. And so what I ended up doing is I just went on to Indigo's website, and they, of course,
did,
because
you filter my price backwards. I did that once.
I didn't quite do that. I could have, but I didn't quite get to that point because I found this book before I needed to. But I went to a section that was called books over $30.
Look at this.
It's all about paper and bookmaking, and that's why it immediately spoke to me when I saw it. I was just looking at books over $30, and then I just kept scrolling until I found something I thought you would really like. And I may have also done some side research of looking for books about bookbinding, because obviously that's something you're interested in. So I think it might have been a combination of those two methods, and I ended up finding that, and it just seemed perfect.
This is so... I love that we did this, because this is, like, I don't think I ever would have bought this on my own.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't do this kind of research. It's such a beautiful, stunning book. This edges are all... I thought it was in a case.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure.
The edges are black.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're so pretty. This is so...
I mean, cool. A book about book binding needs to be a cool book, just saying.
It's so true. Imagine if they did a book on the aesthetics of book design and it was not an aesthetic book.
That'd be a bad start.
This is so cool and is actually perfect for something I'm going to be talking about in our next episode.
Whoa!
Yeah. Yeah. For one of my 2024 goals, this is going to loop in.
Oh, okay? That is so really cool.
Yeah, you're going to see how this kind of ties in the next episode. Oh my God, thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is
stunning. Wow. Okay. How about you open your book now, and then we'll do the bonus things.
So mine is still in its beautiful eBay casing. I was intrigued when I saw eBay. So I was like,
eBay. I know.
eBay. I don't think I've ever bought anything from eBay.
It's out of print, I think, or uh-oh, it's like out of stock. Yeah. Everywhere. And so I was like, I was so excited that I found it on eBay, and I literally talked to the guy. I was like, can you ship it and will it make it in time?
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll ship it tomorrow morning. Oh, he was so nice.
Yeah, it actually has his name on it. Thank you, Branson. Thanks, Branson.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I was just like, uh-oh, it's from eBay. That must mean it's something really special. It's still in a box. I've got to take this tape off.
It's not even that old of a release. This is why. I don't know if it was like a little bit limited edition or what. But I was confused why I couldn't get it.
Some books just like go out of print.
I have been confused about that before.
Okay. There's still too much tape. Branson tied this up really well.
Thank you, Branson. Honestly, it's a little annoying for the podcast, but it was well worth it for the long-term longevity.
Okay. All right.
Here we go.
Oh, and it's inside of bubble wrap, too. Wow, he did a really good job. It's inside of Amazon Prime repurposed
packaging. Hey, listen, a reusable king, right?
We love that.
Reusable. What if it's just 18 layers of packing and there's no book in there?
That would be the most depressing turn of events. He was like, yeah, I can ship it really quickly because there's no book. Because
there is no book.
Okay. I think I've gained access. Okay. You can see the book now. You can see it. It's happening. Oh, it's sealed.
Okay, awesome.
Oh God, what is it? Whoa, what is this? It's called The Private Eye by Brian K. Vaughan. Hey, yeah! I love that guy. It's like, okay, I have to take it. It's in like...
Shrink wrap. Okay, cool.
Shrink wrap.
That's what he said on eBay. It was brand new. I don't know how Branson got it, but...
Okay, whoa. Okay, what it's... It's like a comic, I think. I'm guessing that's what it's going to be. But look, it's so wide. It's such a strange shape. Okay.
It's such a strange shape. So this was released as a webcomic over a long time.
Yeah, okay.
And it was like very popular, I guess. But then they finally released it in physical, but not for very long, and as a limited edition special expensive thing.
Oh my gosh, yeah, there's just like a few copies or something. Wow, this is crazy. Okay, I'm just going to like briefly read what it says on the back. It says, The Private Eye, the Cloudburst Edition. It says, before Edward Snowden was a household name, before movie studios were hacked wide open, before everyone's darkest secret started spilling out of the cloud, there was the Private Eye.
Oh.
So it's like, this guy's an unlicensed PI. Yeah, it's sci-fi mystery.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was kind of a Raylene-ish thing.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
A little Black Mirror-esque. And it's basically, I was like, what is something so that's
creepy,
kind of expensive on your shelves already that you like?
And it's
I remembered Saga.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if that guy ever wrote something else. And this was the other cool. And then I looked through all his stuff and this one looked so cool.
And this is just like what you were saying for yours, like something so interesting that I would never even obviously this one is even harder to think of because I'd have to go on eBay to find it. But I would have never in a million years come across this, but I'm so happy to have it because I love Brian K. Vaughan. Like
I know, that's what I thought.
I love Saga, but I also love Why the Last Man. Like I've read a couple of things by him and he just knocks it out of the park every time. And
that's what I was thinking. Like, it goes with our thing of, like, we find authors we love, and then we are so bad at reading more of their books. And so I was like, oh, I can give her a book that she'll probably like, because you already like so many of his other ones.
Yeah.
but this one may not have occurred to you to find because it's so hard
cool.
to find.
I'm very excited about that. Thank you so much.
Woohoo! Wow.
Nailed it.
All right. Now let's do our bonus items. So, it came in a separate little box.
Ooh.
I think, yeah. Okay, let me, where the heck did I put my,
your little slicey slice. There.
My little slicey slice. All right, this is pretty hype. What could it be? It's a very book-shaped little box.
Oh, weird. It's not a book.
Am I in? Yes.
Oh, have you gained entry?
I see candy cane stripes. Okay, so now I think it's something Christmassy. Oh, they're so cute. Oh my god. They are three gold ceramic house ornaments. It says set of three. This is so cute, Raylene.
Yay.
I own some like this that are like, they're a lot bigger for Halloween. Mm. So I like that now I have some for Christmas. I don't know why I'm opening it. I'm not going to like
bring it on
live on the pod, but I'm just kind of excited.
Show us your tree.
They're so beautiful. Oh, they're so, so cute. They have little ribbons.
Oh my, God. They better.
Get out of there. Oh,
they're really cute.
Those are so pretty. Oh, everyone, ASMR ready?
Ooh.
I'm sorry that I did that.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Well, Raylene's books are in her town. They're just, presents are in her town.
Gift.
They're just not in her hands yet. So they will be eventually, and we will now cut into a clip of that future. Hello from the future.
Woo.
It's actually only been a few hours, and the package arrived!
It's here now.
Woo-hoo! Okay. I'm very excited for you to open this. I think it has a pull tab on either end.
Mm. Oh, here it is. Never seen one of these boxes before. Newfangled Canada Post. All right.
Here's the thing. I accidentally got you multiple things.
I was going to say, there's more than one thing in here. I'm not looking yet. I'm just pulling it all out of the box.
I think there might be four things.
Holy shit, what?
I know.
Is there a specific order I should open them in?
No.
Okay. No. There's a lot of bubble wrap, so I'm going to start with that, because that's really interesting.
Okay, that's the main one.
Okay.
This is where it all began.
Oh my god. It's Calcifer. Oh my goodness, it's a little,
it's
ceramic,
for a little tea light. You know, like those tea candles?
My mom bought me so many of those for Christmas, I can put it in there right away.
Okay, that's so perfect.
It's so cute.
Isn't that the cutest thing you've ever seen? It's a little ceramic calcifer that you can put a tea candle into. Gosh.
And for those who don't know, calcifer is a little fire guy from Howl's Moving Castle. He's basically just a ball of flame.
Yes.
And he's very funny. And he has a little frying pan to hold.
Isn't he so cute, really? So
I'm obsessed.
I saw it on Etsy months ago, and it said that the shipping time was going to take like 4 months. And I was I'm still going to buy it, and if it doesn't make it in time, I'll just save it for your birthday or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it made it in time, and I was so excited to send
That's incredible.
Okay, so then what happened was I was walking through Union Station in Toronto, and they have a pop-up, or I don't know if it's a pop-up, but they have like a little shop in there that has a lot of Ghibli stuff in it, and I couldn't control myself.
Uh-oh.
And I bought you more stuff.
Oh my gosh, that's the best news I've ever heard. Oh, there's a little card too. Hold on, let me look at the card.
Oh yeah, there's a card.
Merry Catmas. Nice. I'm keeping that to myself. Thank you. All right, next up. Oh, ooh. What is this guy? We've got
a soy sauce container.
Oh, I was like, is this a light bulb? Like, what is this?
Isn't that so cute? It's a little ceramic soy sauce dish.
But it kind of fills up to look like his
face.
Yeah,
it fills up
grooves.
To reveal No Face, who is one of the main characters from Spirited Away.
Which is my favorite movie of all time, so thank you.
Isn't that? I was like, god damn it,
it's
have to buy
good.
That for her. I have to get that.
She got me a bag with some tea bags in it. Is this biscuit tea?
It is.
I want a
wanted to try biscuit tea so bad.
So we were talking about how much I love this biscuit tea. It's digestive biscuit tea. I'm obsessed with it. And I was like, I am going to give Raylene a few little baggies.
I love that. Because look, that's all I need. I just need
to get now you'll try
bags.
It. Now
I can
and
try it.
And then you'll know if you like it.
I love that so much. Okay, what are we? Oh, what are these? What are these? Okay. There's these little cloths.
I think they're just little, like, they're just, I don't know, tea towels or face cloths? I think they might be face cloths.
They might be face cloths. They're just tiny little. One is Kiki's Delivery Service and has Gigi on it, who's a little cat, and then it's Spirited Away, cute. Which has no face on it. These are so cute.
I was like, even if you just use those, like, literally as rags to clean. I was
I'll
what
definitely use these as face
thing.
Cloths. They're very
cute. What a
cute
thing to use.
That is so cute. Thank you so much for sending me so many things. It's funny, I actually, this is just like a little preview to the new year. I have some random little bits and bobs that I've like found for you as well that I would have sent for Christmas, but I sent your Christmas stuff. I just ordered it on Indigo, so I didn't have the ability to send a package from my home. Totally. So you'll have some more little tidbits sometime. Sometime in the new year.
We have, somehow we find lots of reasons to send each other stuff.
Exactly. I want to do that more. I want to get back
to
our
pen pal
date.
I'm really glad that you like them all. Also, this reminds me, for the book that I bought you, I was thinking about getting you like a Studio Ghibli coffee table book.
Ooh.
But then you showed me that you have a lot of Ghibli books. And I was like,
yeah,
do people actually want coffee table books?
I'm glad that you went for something totally different.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that in my head, I thought you were going to buy me some kind of art book. Like I thought it was going to be Ghibli art or like,
yes.
I don't know, something. Like I thought it was going to be something like that. And so I'm glad that you just like went a totally different direction because I didn't expect it. And it's something I would never buy for myself. So it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yay. Okay. Yay. Let's cut back to the past.
Bye.
And welcome back.
Yes.
You're welcome, really.
I love those gifts I know nothing about. I'm sure it'll be great.
You are going to love them. I know for certain that you are.
Good.
But there you go. There's our Christmas book haul. Sealed, signed, sealed, delivered.
Mm-mm-mm.
And now it is time to go into these stats.
Hell yeah.
Woo. All right. So there's two types of statistics here.
Mm.
We have ones that are purely numbers based and we have a lot of pie charts.
Yeah.
And then we have answers based ones where people wrote in. I think we're going to spend more time on the answers based ones. So we'll go a little quickly through the numbers ones. Let's go back and forth on these, right? You have the spreadsheet in front of you?
I do. I'm always ready.
All right. So the first question was, how many books did you read this year? For context, I read 34. Raylene, you read
like 90. No, it was 90. It was 90. I remember.
Okay. So the people read, the biggest slice of the pie, 30% read 26 to 50. So... yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like this is like a person who's averaging one book every week or every 2 weeks. Then the next one was 51 to 75. And then the next one after that was over 100. And of course this makes sense because it's a book podcast. Okay. So we have people highly reading there. And then 11 to 25, the smallest slice of the pie was people that said, 36 people said, I'm not sure. I don't track my reading.
Oh, man. Those 36 people are cool.
All right. What's the next one?
Okay. The next one is, what genre did you read the most this year? And there are only three that are big enough to even have a percentage attached. So I'll just go through those ones. So 32% said literary fiction, which once again, that just makes sense for our listenership. And then 21% said fantasy, which I thought was interesting.
That's
because
so interesting.
We don't really read that much fantasy, but of course that's not going to stop our listeners from reading fantasy. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And we'll
kind of
I think
we have
that
every
that
year.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantasy is just a huge genre and I'm happy to see it. I love that. And then 9.9% of the people said romance. So
fascinating.
That's also very fascinating.
That also just makes sense though logistically because it's such a huge genre.
It is. Yeah.
Like a lot of readers are romance readers.
Exactly. As we'll get to later in the stats as well, that like romance has, like we've talked about as well, like it was one of the huge things this year.
Totally.
And fantasy honestly.
All right, the next question, where did you get most of the books you read this year? The options were, I mainly bought them, bookshops, online subscriptions. Number two, I loaned them, library, friends, or Libby, or I already own them. And I put in brackets, I actually read my TBR file because I'm epic.
This one was actually very, very interesting.
It's fascinating. 48%, the winner by a long mile, almost half, is I loaned them.
That is so awesome.
That is so awesome. I love that. Then the, although it does reveal a problem in a minute. Then the second biggest one is with 37% of the vote, I mainly bought them. Ooh. That's where we are. Uh-huh. And then the third option, I already own them, is only 14%.
Yeah.
So it does really show that most people are not reading the books that they own. They're either loaning books or buying new books and reading those.
Yeah. Although if those people like buy books and then read them and like don't have a TBR pile necessarily, then that's pretty cool and makes
sense. That's true.
But I don't. I feel like that's not the case. That's definitely not the case for me.
All right, next one.
Okay, next is what format did you read most? So we've got physical books, audiobooks, and ebooks as the three options. And the top option at 62% is physical books. So that's pretty cool. But what I found very interesting is that ebooks and audiobooks are almost tied. Audiobooks was 17.8% and ebooks was 19.4%.
So I felt like audiobooks would have been higher.
I mean, but as your most read format?
Like, I guess that's true.
I feel like it's kind of crazy for it to be as high as it is almost. Like, I'm amazed that there are that many people who read the majority of their books through audio. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
This lines up insanely perfectly with the last 2 years. Ooh. Last year, it was 69% physical, 16% audio, 14% ebook.
Yeah.
And the year before that, 2021, 68%, 15%, 17%.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
It's pretty much the same.
That's so fascinating. All right. Well, our next question is, how many books did you DNF, did not finish this year? And that is whether it was on purpose or because you accidentally gave up on them.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like, how many books are people giving up on? 10% of people said none. I finish everything I start. Damn.
Hardcore.
Who are you? That was 211 people. That's wild to me. Okay, then the next category, only one or two books left unfinished. That was the biggest slice of the pie.
That's where I would fall into.
43.7% of people. Then maybe 5 to 10, that's the next biggest slice of pie. 700 people, 34%. And then we swing back. It's kind of a pretty pie chart.
It is.
Then we swing back to the small percentage, the fringe people, right? Like, there's the little fringe people that never give up on books. And then there's the little fringe people that give up on books all of the time.
Yeah.
And that was that was 12% of people give up on over 10 books. And I called that option over 10. Call me Ariel because I don't even remember what books I start.
There you go. At least you know you're not alone. That was,
it's true.
242 people are with you there.
God. I love those 242 people.
Best pals. Okay, the next one is rereads. What percentage of your reading this year consisted of rereads? Which is always intriguing.
Fascinating.
The biggest chunk was under 10%. Under 10% rereads. And there was 52.6% of the people said that. So the vast majority of people don't reread a lot, but not 0%, although that is the next biggest one. 30.8% of people said that they have no rereads. They reread nothing this year.
Wow.
That's pretty wild. Pretty wild, honestly, but kind of cool. And then the next one after that at 14% is between 11% and 30% rereads. And then there's only very tiny ones for people who are reading more than that.
Yeah, it's only 7 people and 5 people.
7 people reread above 51%. Like the majority of their reading was rereads, which...
How many people? 7 people.
Wow, 7 people. Crazy. You guys, that's so interesting. I love that because I want to reread books more. I always want to, but I just don't do it. And so I respect that.
That's really so fascinating. And also really lines up perfectly with our last 2 years. Last year
that makes sense.
52% of people said under 10%. The year before that, 51%. This year it's 53%. It's always around
it's the same.
Yeah. Okay, and then the final... Well, it's not the final stats question, but one before we get into wordy stuff is, if you set a reading goal this year, did you accomplish it? Or if you set many, did you achieve most of them? Because I know it's a little tricky.
Yeah.
In the large minority, 67% of people said, yes, I did accomplish my goals. 21% said, almost, maybe next year. And 10% of people said, no.
No. Sometimes we set goals and maybe they're not meant to be accomplished.
Maybe they're, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's not meant
to be.
All right. Well, the next question that we're going to answer is a big one here. Mm. The big question. What was your favorite book of the year? And Raylene did a bit of a deep dive.
Yeah. Let's dive in. I'm going to try and just zip through this as much as I can, but there is a lot of interesting information. So I have it sorted by A to Z. It's alphabetical right now. So I'm going to kind of, you're going to see that as a trend. But at the very top, the first thing that caught my eye was five people who said that 84 Charing Cross Road was their favorite book of the year. So thought that was really cute. We had seven people say that A Little Life was their favorite book of the year. Mm. I love that. This always pops up every year. It a bunch of people does. Say A Little Life. But I just, it's fascinating that it's stuck around.
It's what still going.
This next one is where the very interesting stuff begins. We have a huge chunk of people who said either a Psalm for the Wild Built or a Prayer for the Crown Shy. Guess how many people named either one of those books as their favorite book?
20?
40.
Whoa!
40 people.
I saw that. As I was scrolling through that category, I saw it come up a lot. This is...
Because here's what I did, people. I sorted it alphabetically to like see trends, but then I went into and used the search feature. So I found even ones that weren't at the beginning, you know, if you mentioned it later in your sentence, I still found it. I still found the data, just so you know, in case anyone is wondering. There's this one I highlighted just because I thought this was cute. One person said After Dark by Haruki Murakami and Days at the Murasaki Bookshop. So two books that you and I both really like.
Yeah.
And there were five that I highlighted because I thought this was funny where people just started with, because they were having a hard time deciding. So that was funny. Okay, back to some real data. So eight people said Anne of Green Gables was their favorite book of the year.
My people.
And now we've got another big one.
Mm.
Babel by R.F. Kuang.
Oh, yeah.
28 people chose that as their favorite book of the year. That's pretty hardcore. Because didn't that come out last year? Like, it didn't just come out this year,
I think it came
out
like 2 years
ago. Yeah, I feel like it's been on the favorites list for a while. Another one. Nine people said Crying in H Mart, which I love.
Oh!
I love that. It's fun to see which ones are kind of like, you know, Books Unbound-y favorites.
Yeah.
Because one that popped up a lot as well is Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver.
That's so funny.
18 people chose this. That. No, like, I know nothing about this book. But 18 of our listeners chose it as their favorite book of the year, which is just so interesting.
Huh, that is interesting.
Oh, and another one that popped up that caught my eye, mostly because I've never even heard of this, it's called Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett. Seven people mentioned it as their favorite book of the year, so I was like, I don't know what that is, but that's worth shouting out. This was also interesting because TikTok books are so popular this year. A few people said Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, but it was only 10 people. I was expecting that to be a higher number because I feel like that book was so popular this year.
Maybe it's because it's a bit more of a YAE romance book, and that isn't our main thing. So I feel like maybe people that read that book are less likely to listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's true. True
that's
fact.
Interesting.
Okay. And then a couple more like just quick shout outs are Honeybees and Distant Thunder by Riku Onda. Two people mentioned that as their favorite.
Oh, that's encouraging. I should read it.
I know. That's why like some of these I was like, oh, that makes me more excited to read that book or more excited for you to read that book. Like for example, the next one I was going to mention is How High We Go in the Dark by Sequoia Nagamatsu, which is a book I just got for my birthday. Two people mentioned that as their favorite book of the year. A lot of people, there's a huge chunk where people just say, I can't choose.
Nice.
I don't know. I have no clue. That was a really big section as well. But okay, here's the interesting one that where you guys have influenced me. So I found this chunk. There were five people who said that this was their favorite book of the year. It's called I Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Harpman. Mm. And I was like, what is that? I need to know what that is. And so I looked it up and it sounds so good that I bought it. This is the book that I bought. It sounds right up my alley. It was published in 1995. And it is kind of like a dystopian, a little bit, I think, like based on the tags I saw, it says it's dystopian and it's kind of thrillery and spooky. It's about a bunch of women who have been, like, are being held captive. And it's, like, about them. They've never, they don't know why they're there. They don't know who it is that's keeping them there. And it sounds so spooky. And the fact that multiple people said that it was their favorite book, I was just like, I need to know what this is all about. I love that. That's just so cool. It got me. So to the five of you who said that, you influenced me. Thank you so much. Like, I really combed through this this data, I'm telling you. Okay, moving on. Seven people said I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy was their favorite book of the year.
Cool.
12 people said If We Were Villains by M.L. Rio.
Oh,
so
wow,
like,
it's still going.
Gets me. Yeah. I know, it's exciting to see books that have been out for quite a while now still being like read
really
and loved. This one also, like, I didn't know what this was. This book called In Memoriam by Alice Wynn. 5 people said that was their favorite book of the year as well. So that's another one that I don't know anything about. 12 people said In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one's still kicking as well. And then we had, oh, this is nice. 15 people said that Know My Name by Chanel Miller was their favorite book of the year. And
that's
a couple
awesome.
Of you guys said thanks to me specifically. So I feel good that I influenced you guys, because I'm like, oh, I just want everyone to read this book. So it makes me happy to know that at least a few people read it because of me. Okay. Next up, Legends and Lattes had 12 people who said that was their favorite book.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah, 13 people said that Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus was their favorite book of the year, which makes sense. It came out as a show this year, so I feel like it got a little bit more...
Oh, that does make sense.
And
totally.
More oomph. This one was very interesting. So 5 separate people said that their favorite read of the year was this Harry Potter fan fiction called Manacled. I had to mention this because this is... I just love it. I think this is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I sometimes forget that fan fiction is a thing, but people who love fan fiction, like, really love fan fiction, and I hardcore respect that.
I love it.
I'm just really, like, I'm actually intrigued enough to maybe want to read it.
That's so fascinating.
I think I kind of want to read it now, because one person actually said, I know this is fan fiction, but it deserves all the praise. And this other person said, yes, it's that one Harry Potter fanfic. Yes, I know, but unfortunately nothing topped it. So that's what I find very interesting. Like,
that
out of all the
so
things
juicy.
Yeah, out of all the things this person read, they were like, nothing's better than this. And I read some Goodreads reviews for this fanfiction. Like, it has a rabid fan base.
That's
pretty cool.
So juicy. Wow.
Yes. So that I couldn't not mention that. We had a few people say My Brilliant Friend. One person said, I know you hated it, let's forgive and forget. So respect.
That's so funny.
This one was actually interesting. One person just said, none really. It was a wacky year. And I'm really sorry about that. That sounds not good.
Brother.
That sounds not
that
good. This next one is one that I actually recently bought as well, called Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. 8 people listed
as
their favorite book of the year.
All right.
Which
you
makes me
so
hyped. I know, I'm like, oh damn, I thought it was just like kind of a random book, but people love it. People love it. Here's another one.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll have heard of this one. 18 people said Our Wives Under the Sea by Julia Armfield. Have you even
heard
of that?
Of that
18 people. You might recognize the cover. I recognized the cover when I looked it up.
I do recognize the cover.
And now I'm like, what is this? One person said it's unsettling yet beautifully written. I'm like, ooh, I love unsettling things.
I feel like I almost bought this book once.
Ooh,
looking
yeah.
at the synopsis.
I looked it up on the Libby app. Like, I definitely might, I might give it a try one of these days. We'll see. But then,
cool.
Okay, 13 people said Pachinko by Min Jin Lee, which is always delightful. That's another one of those ones that just kind of keeps going because why wouldn't it? 15 people said Piranesi by Susanna Clarke, which I thought was fun because I read it this year and didn't like it. So good for you guys. Good for you guys. 13 people said Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, which I'm really excited about because I want to read that in the new year. 10 people said Sea of Tranquility. 5 people said Severance by Ling Ma. Let's see. Oh, this was another random one. Small Things Like These by Claire Keegan. 9 people said this was their favorite book of the year. And so I looked it up. It's like a Christmas novella.
Oh,
it's so random. But now I'm like, I'm gonna have to read that next Christmas. Like,
that's lovely. Yeah,
favorite book of the year. Okay, we're getting close to the end here, but I had one highlighted that I thought was funny too. This person said Stoner by John Williams and Down the Drain by Julia Fox. That range. two completely different books. I love That's really interesting. Four people said The Anthropocene Reviewed, which I thought was cute. We had eight people say The Bandit Queens by Perini Schroff, which I've seen in passing, so that's fun. Yeah. You're going to like this. 10 people said The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery.
Like that. So this is funny because I knew that you'd done a lot of digging into this category. I wasn't sure how much. And so I just thought I would just search our favorite books.
Yeah,
and
that's smart.
So I had seen that 15 people said Know My Name.
Yeah.
And 10 people had said The Blue Castle. And a few people had said True Grit. So yes, I was like, that's really fun because it means that we did encourage some people to read those books. And a bunch of them loved them.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
I know. I love that we all loved those books together this year. Yeah, like we had our little favorites. Two people said The Name of the Wind, so that's pretty cool. Love to see it. We had a few people say Priory of the Orange Tree, The Rachel Incident by Caroline O'Donohue, The Secret History got 11, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, there were seven people who chose that. The Wall by Marlon Haushofer, which is that book that you bought and then I bought. And yeah, six people said that was their, exactly. Six people said it was their favorite book. So I feel like that should encourage us. And then this is another book that I am intrigued by now. It's called The Will of the Many by James Islington. It's a fantasy book I've never heard of, but has like outstanding reviews. So if anybody's looking for a fantasy book, maybe you've never heard of it. Maybe I'm the only person who hasn't heard of it. Okay, nearing the very bottom here. So we've got Tiny Beautiful Things. Five people said that was their favorite book of the year. But here's where things get pretty wild. So you know how I said that Becky Chambers' duology had 40 people who loved it?
By far the most.
This is now the actual winner.
Oh.
Can you guess what it is? I'm in the T section.
I would have guessed Fourth Wing.
Tomorrow and Tomorrow. 43 people said that was their favorite book of the year.
Wow.
It like it takes up my whole screen. That's how many people said it. It's crazy. And
that's
another
most popular book of the year. Wow.
Yeah. So that and Becky Chambers were the top two for sure. But another one that got a lot with 17 was Tress of the Emerald Sea by Brandon Sanderson. So of course Brandon Sanderson is going to just nail it. So yeah, I mean that's like the bulk of the information. So
Tomorrow and Tomorrow,
we really need to read it next year.
Crown the winner. Yeah, seriously. I thought it was out in paperback and I was actually looking for it in the bookshops that we went to, and it is not out in paperback in North America.
It is in the UK though. We can read it before it comes out in paperback. We can still do that. Go back to our goals from 3 years ago. Yeah. Got to read those hardcovers.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. Well, thank you for doing that very big deep dive. I didn't think it was that big of a deep. It really was a deep dive.
It was deep. It was deep.
Okay, I'm going to blast through because we have these three more like pie charty ones. We've got, did you participate in a buddy read this year? And I specified this is when you read a book with a friend, either in person or independently, but it's together in order to discuss. It's different from a book club.
Mm.
So it's a buddy read. 71% of people said yes. Screech! Ariel from the future here. I'm editing this episode. I got it totally wrong. I don't know what I was thinking. I read this information wrong. 72% of people said no. And this is kind of sad because I was so excited when we originally recorded. I was like, woohoo, everyone's doing buddy reads. Yay. No, it's wrong. 72% of people said no. They did not participate in a buddy read this year. And then 29% of people said yes, they did. So only like nearly a third of people said yes, but most people have not participated in a buddy read this year. That's so sad. Everyone get out there. Get reading with your buddy. The next question, are you part of a book club that meets physically? Because obviously a lot of people are part of like really online book clubs where you don't actually talk to anyone. You're more like part of a chat room. And I was like, I want to know about like a physical, how many people are commuting to a book club?
Okay.
And I said, I think it only counts if you went to at least two meetings. Like you can't have just gone one time and then you say you're part of a club.
Right.
This is insane. 82% of people said that they are part of a book club that meets physically that they went to at least two meetings of.
No, 82% said no.
Ah! Ah, that's so funny. Oops.
That makes a lot more sense.
I couldn't believe that that number, I was like, that just seems impossible. It is impossible. Yeah,
it is impossible. That just doesn't happen anymore.
Screech! Take that all back. Okay, well, this makes a lot, because my mind was so blown. I was like, I can't, I actually couldn't believe
that. Why? Why would book clubs be that big?
I didn't know everyone was part of a book club. Okay, just kidding. It's 17% of people. Wow, okay. Whew, that makes a lot more sense. Moving on, because now that's just a boring stat. If you set a number goal, so for example, read 10 books this year. What was the number?
Ooh.
I regret the way that I set this up a little bit. Oh my god,
this pie chart is so confused.
I know, the pie chart is flunked.
It disappears. It turns into a ghost at one point.
It does, because people... I thought that they would just, like, pick the one that was closest to, but everyone just inserted their own number, which I didn't even think you could add your own number.
This always happens every year, though. There's something about the charts that goes a little sideways.
Yeah, so the one that was the most popular number goal was to read 50 books.
Mm.
So 15% of the people that answered the survey did that goal.
Yeah.
Then the next most popular one was, I didn't set a number goal. That was 14% of people. Yeah. And then the next one is other. Yeah. So 10, sorry. Wow. 11% of people were like, I did it. Like, I chose my own number.
Right.
No problem. And then the next one is, this is a lot of people, like 200-ish people set 100 books as a goal.
It's a good goal. That's what I often go for.
And then read 52 books was 8.6%. Because I was curious if there would be a difference between read 50 books and read 52 books. Because 52, it's like not as pretty of a number, but it makes
true.
More
it's
sense.
It's one a week. It's one people book a week. That. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's interesting. Kind of gives you a gist of what people are doing. But now, moving away from the numbers. Tell us a non-number goal that you had fun working on this year and let us know how it went. Because I love hearing people's creative goals. So I picked out a couple of favorites.
Okay, cool.
Here,
yeah, I didn't really look at these. I didn't have time.
yeah, that makes sense. All right, I just picked a handful that I just thought were interesting or fun in some way.
Cool.
I had 12 family members and friends tell me their favorite book, and I had the year to read them all. I'm still working to finish the final books. If you guys remember, we released this survey at the beginning of December, so maybe that they finished their goal. I'm still working to finish the final books this December, but we had some wins so far and some definite flops. Lol. What a cool goal to get your family members and friends to tell you their favorite book and then spend the year reading them. That's so cool.
That is really cool.
This person said, I'm reading through the entire 20th century one year at a time.
Whoa! I just got to chill. That's actually really spooky. Like, that's cool. That's really cool. That's a slow goal. Really cool. I love it.
Really cool. Reading more South American literature didn't go too well, though. I'll try again next year.
Good.
I loved the I'll try again next year thing. I really respected it. I was like, it could have been any goal that this person set, but just the I'll try again next year. I'm like, yeah,
don't
give
up.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really neat. Not restricted to this year, but I'm trying to read every Stephen King novel.
Mm.
But I'm only letting myself buy them secondhand only reading them in whatever order I find them.
That's so fun.
That is so cool, because Stephen King is always in thrift stores. Mm-hmm. There's always a bunch of his books there. So you could just be like, okay, it's time to read my next Stephen King. I'm going to go to the thrift shop. Whichever one's there that I haven't read, that's next.
Yeah. they're usually
so
going to be
clever.
I love that too, because you're not going to find the new ones as frequently or like as
early
as you might like after they come out kind of thing. So you're going to be like having a small smattering of his new stuff, but you're definitely going to be finding more of his obscure old ones. They kind of get left behind
at the thrift
store.
Cool.
Oh,
that's
sick. That's
so cool.
That's awesome.
I love this one. I love birds. So I wanted to read 4 nonfiction books about birds, and I managed to do it.
Oh!
I love that!
That's so cozy. That's the coziest little goal I've ever heard. I love
that's
that.
That's so great. Okay, this person said, to read my unread hardback books.
Ooh.
I buy them when they come out, and then I don't read them before the paperback is out. I made good progress on this.
Mm.
Really relatable. Love that the people are out there trying.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one that I picked, I had a goal called Beat the Movie, where I read the book before the movie comes out. And there were quite a few this year. Red, White, and Royal Blue, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, Poor Things, just to name a few. I love the name of the challenge. Beat the movie.
Beat the movie. Damn, that's almost making me want to like rethink my goals for the new year. I'm like, I need to give them all cool names.
There are so many good ones. I really loved Beat the Movie.
Beat the Movie. That's fantastic.
All right. So the next question was, this was a new one that I added this year. Did you find a new subgenre that really got you excited this year? Because we talk about like favorite books and we talk about like other trends, but I'm like, what about like a subgenre? Because this year, Raylene got into like chef memoirs.
Yes,
and
I
read
did.
Multiple of them.
Yeah.
I read multiple letter collections, but also multiple Westerns.
Yeah.
So Raylene.
Yeah,
I know that you went into this one a little bit.
I did.
I picked out a couple too.
Oh, sure. Tell me what you've got and then I can kind of skip through those ones.
Okay, yeah. I chose a handful. I did advice column audiobooks, said.
Very specific.
So niche. Love that. I just said that the word cozy came up like hundreds of times.
Yeah, I actually wrote it down. Exactly 100 people said cozy with the two different ways you could spell cozy. There was 100 people that
included. What's the second
that.
Way to spell cozy?
C-O-S-Y.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I thought you were going to say like ending with an I. Or I was very confused. This person says... Oh, yeah, I wanted to shout this one out. This person said, alien encounters.
Ooh.
I'm on the hunt for all Earth-based alien encounters, not space books, especially if they're focused on friends and family dynamics or grappling with the meaning of life or something along those lines.
Oh, my God.
So if you're out there and you know the book, leave it in the comments of the YouTube video so this person can find more. This one was funny. Women navigating their 30s and 40s.
Mm.
That's not that funny. What's funny is, in brackets, she wrote, lol. Because she's clearly a woman navigating her 30s yeah. and 40s.
Lol. That's funny.
Yeah, those were the ones that I picked out that were fun. What did you find?
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I kind of highlighted and I like gathered data. So let me just kind of try and muddle my way through what I did here. So two people said Alpine Western, which I thought was fun, like very specific. But so I searched Western and a total of 8 people mentioned Western in some capacity.
Okay.
There was a few different like specifics. But I also wanted to look into kind of like things that you and I were into. So there were 2 people who mentioned the word chef or restaurant. So I feel pretty cool about that. There were a couple of other people who were in the same boat as me. 15 people said letter collections and 6 people mentioned epistolary novels. So a lot of people were influenced by you and your letters this year. I'm sure other people were reading them already, but few people specifically mentioned like thanks Ariel. So thought that was cool. One person mentioned that they sort of like me read a few books about idols and like idol culture.
Oh,
so I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah, so just I'll go through my highlights in a moment, but I took down some numbers. So like I said, 100 people mentioned cozy. Lot of people said cozy fantasy. A lot of people mentioned memoirs of assorted different genres. 124 people mentioned fantasy as a genre. They was, you know, some kind of fantasy was their genre. 74 people said romance. 145 people mentioned memoir. In some capacity.
Okay,
so quite a lot. We had 31 people say that translated fiction was their like biggest subgenre of the year, which I thought was really cool. 48 people said short story collections was their subgenre, which I thought was interesting. One thing that I wrote down here that was funny too. There was one really funny one I wanted to look up. So 2 people said sad Irish fiction. But one person said this. Sad Irish stories that make you angry at nuns.
No.
Specific. Okay,
yikes.
Let's see what else we've got. We've got old ladies solving crimes, old crumbling house fiction. I don't know what that means, but I love it. Like
I
love how specific that is. A lot of people said no. Like they had no specific subgenres.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we have here? Oh yeah, one person who I mentioned, like the chef thing, I looked up chefs in restaurants. One person said, I was inspired to try chef memoirs by Raylene, and Kitchen Confidential was one of my favorite reads of the year. I just wrote, fuck yeah, next to that. I was very excited about that. This person said, I read a lot more Japanese translated fiction than before, and a bunch of French gay books. I love that.
Nice.
I love that. Yeah. Very specific. Mm. All right. Yes, we had 11 people mention Greek myth, like mythology retellings in some way. Yep. We had, I didn't count this, but a whole bunch of people said graphic memoirs or graphic novel memoirs. I highlighted it. There's a chunk of at least 12 people who said that, which I thought was interesting. Like I mentioned earlier, somebody said goop horror. And I just put question marks next to that because I didn't know what it is. Apparently that's horror about the makeup and cosmetology the makeup industry,
cosmetics.
Cosmetics. Yeah, it's about that. So I think
that's what Rouge goop horror is.
Yeah, so I think Rouge by Mona.
Like slime horror. No. I was imagining like green goop.
Nope. I know that's
you
what
meant
I thought
Gwyneth
too.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Exactly. We mean okay. Gwyneth and Rouge.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Oh yeah, one person just put depressed gay women.
Yeah.
Like, yes. That is a specific genre.
That is.
One person actually just said cookbooks, which is interesting.
Oh,
but
cool.
Celebrity memoirs was another big one. There was about 10 people who said celebrity memoirs was their niche genre, which I thought was kind of intriguing. Like, I wonder what people were reading other than Britney Spears. What was cool this year? Let's see. Yes, sad Irish stories and then short stories. Speculative fiction got quite a few. A lot of people said speculative fiction. This person said speculative fiction where something super weird happens in the normal world. For example, The Anomaly by Hervé Letellier. So that's a recommendation if somebody's looking for that. Super niche, but I read lots of books of angry women fighting superstitious / sinister forces.
Whoa.
That is very specific. Okay, and then this is I have two more. Okay, one person just said weird lesbian novels, which I really loved. And then but 11 people said either unhinged or unsound women.
Yahoo! Cool.
Was their genre.
Hell
so
yeah.
I was looking for that specifically and I'm glad that it delivered.
I love that. I really love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's fun. That was a cool new question because it was interesting how, we do find new subgenres and then we tunnel into them a little bit. That's really fun. Okay. The next question was one of the ones that I spent a lot of time reading.
Okay.
It was inspired by Ariel's goal of visiting all of the bookshops in Nova Scotia. Tell us a memory of a new bookshop you went to this year if you have a little tale to tell. A lot of them were people just saying like, I went to this shop.
Yeah.
So it was nice. And I liked reading them because it was just, everyone seemed very happy. But I pulled out ones that had like a little bit of a story. I wanted a little tale.
Okay.
So I pulled out a couple. My hometown is very small and the only bookstore other than Walmart and a place that sells Bibles shut down a few years ago. A coffee shop in town converted their back room into a very small bookshop that my grandpa took me to. Despite having very few books, every book they had looked really interesting. So I spent about as much time browsing as I would at a normal sized bookshop and ended up getting my favorite book of the year from there.
Oh.
I just love that.
That's fantastic.
If you remember, I went to Friction Books this year. It was a bookshop that in Dartmouth. And it was like, it was not a full bookshop. It was like a corner of a shop that was also a record store and a cafe.
Yeah.
It was like a 3-in-1. And it didn't have that big of a selection, but the books were so well curated that it was maybe the shop I spent the longest in of all of the 20
awesome.
Bookshops I went to this year. So
yeah.
I love this. You don't need to be a big bookshop. Just having a cool
have
selection
the
is
stuff.
So powerful.
Yeah.
We traveled through Germany by train this summer. And in Ulm, we had breakfast at the cafe inside Hugendubel and browsed the store while waiting for the cafe to open. They had an interesting collection of books in English, in addition to a vast selection in German. But most memorable were the accessories. I bought a little brush that's specifically made for dusting books.
What?
I just loved that. I read that and I was
so
like,
cool.
I love imagining this person in a German bookshop picking up a tiny brush for dusting books and buying it. Like, and then it's just in her backpack.
Yeah, that sounds like something you would do.
It does. I love it so much. She says, I think it's a chain, so you can probably find them in other German cities.
Cool.
Okay, this is dark, but I promise it has a happy end.
Oh, God.
In April, I found out that my dad has cancer. I live far from my family, and I was alone and a mess. I didn't know what to do, so after crying for a long time, I went to my local bookstore because decided I needed to be in a beautiful place, and if there was a time I deserved to buy a book, that was it. I needed pure wholesomeness. I found a gorgeous section of classic middle grade and children's literature. I ended up buying The Wind in the Willows and started reading it. The bad news is I kept meaning to finish it, and I never ever did. Oh. So now it's my barely started new mashed potato book. The good news is my dad is making a full recovery and is going to be okay.
Oh my God.
I love this story because it was a beautiful example of how, like, special bookshops are to people. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going through the worst thing.
Yeah.
That sounds like the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah.
And you're like, where do I go? The bookshop.
It's the place of comfort.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
That's very
my good. Sister and I like to go book hunting at places like HomeSense or any non-bookshop that sells books for cheap. I just love it when my sister will unashamedly carry around a worryingly high stack of books before ending up to only buying one of them. Truly, she's an agent of chaos.
Ah, that sounds great. She's a good one.
This
a
one
keeper.
This is so sick. I went to Mr. B's Book Emporium in Bath, in England,
ooh,
because my friend gifted me a voucher for a reading spa for my 30th birthday.
Okay.
This involved filling out a reading habits questionnaire, getting paired up with one of the book similars with similar interests, and then having tea and cake and chatting books with that seller. You go away with a huge pile of recommendations and a stack of books because the voucher includes £60 worth of books, which for her, she said, was 6 paperbacks and then 10 vouchers to use, £10 to use another time. It's such a gorgeous little independent shop in a very literary town, and she had a really great time. And I just think this is such a cool, I've never heard of a book bath or book spa before. reading spa, sorry. And it's so cool because Bath it's called Bath because it had, they believed in the Roman times, special water, and you would go and have baths in it to like restore you and drink it to make you better. And so the idea of a reading spa was so cute. Okay. I was inspired by Ariel. This one I love. And have decided to visit all the independent bookstores in my city, Chicago.
Whoa.
The best memory I have from this year was walking into a Spanish language bookstore and talking to the clerks in Spanish. I've been studying the language for a little over 2 years, so any chance I get to use it always makes me feel incredible. How cool is that?
That's really cool.
Love that.
That's like extra cool.
It's extra cool. I visited the coolest bookstore, cafe, bar, live music venue in Reykjavik. It's called Who Smells Og Menningar? And we walked by it totally unsuspecting and ended up being a magical experience. I want to go there.
That sounds so cool.
So badly. Okay, this person said, not a tale, but I live in Nova Scotia, and I love Ariel's challenge. It's fun to hear about my home through her experiences. Bookmark in Halifax is my fave.
Ah.
I forgot that Nova Scotians are listening to me going to all the Nova Scotia bookshops.
They're like, oh yeah, that weird store.
That's so fun. this is another one. My best friend and I actually planned a trip to Halifax this summer around going to some of the bookstores Ariel mentioned on her quests. We met 17 years ago when we were first year roommates at St. Effects in Antigonish in Nova Scotia.
Ooh.
And have stayed close ever since. We live on opposite ends of the country, just like you guys. Me in New Brunswick, her in Alberta.
Oh my God.
And we're also always talking about what books we're reading and buying. This was our first time seeing each other in person since 2018. And although it was super short, we called our trip Book Camp 2023 and had such a blast making the most of our time together and sharing our love of reading. We were so lucky to be in Halifax on the nicest 2 days, and they went to Agricola Street Books and said it was a highlight.
Oh, I loved that.
So awesome. Okay, this was crazy, Raylene. I found Ducks by Kate Beaton.
Yeah.
I found Ducks in a bookstore in Newark Airport while listening to the episode where Ariel is gushing about it. Then they bought it and read it right there and then. I never thought about that. Like, you could be listening to the episode in a bookshop.
Oh, my God.
And buy the book we're talking
about. That's meta right there. That's getting a little crazy.
That is so, so cool. Okay, maybe this will be the last one I do. There were so many good ones. There is this radical bookshop I went to in Madison, Wisconsin. I forget what WI is.
I think it's Wisconsin.
Called A Room of One's Own. It took me about 7 hours to get there by car. Once I got there, I ended up slamming my finger in the car door.
Ow!
My finger was stuck in the car door. I had to open it to get it out. And she wrote, oof, ouch, owie. And then she says, I still went in.
Just like, All busted. I need books.
She says, I still went in. The workers gave me an ice pack. And as I was walking around the store, teary-eyed, but in awe, I still had a lovely time and bought an absurd amount of books. About 2 months later, my finger is now out of the splint.
Oh my God. You should go back. I know it's 7 hours away, but maybe you should go back.
Isn't that insane?
That's a crazy story.
Oh. God,
dedication to the books, but also a classic. Just like you were saying, you're in pain. You gotta go. You still gotta go into the bookstore.
You're still gonna.
It would be wrong to turn around at that point. Yeah.
Oh my God,
that's amazing.
That's a good one to end it on. Okay, wait. This one's only one sentence.
Okay.
I moved to France this year, and I moved into an English book. Like she moved in next to an English bookstore.
Oh my God. Okay.
Book in bar. En Provence. I was like, this is crazy. That's like Emily in Paris.
I think I would die.
Yeah. You moved to France next door to an English bookshop.
It's too good. It's a little bit too good.
It's literally too good. All right. We're going to blast through the rest of the survey, everyone. I love those stories, though. We asked people about mashed potato books, and I was excited to see lots of people conquering stuff. Anne of Green Gables, Little Women, Dune, Great Gatsby. We asked people what books became mashed potatoes. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Babel. Priory of the
Classic.
Orange Tree.
Big books.
Secret History. House of Leaves.
Yeah. You know, the things that make sense.
The classics. Fallen Night,
same.
I asked, did you wish you'd been better at spending time reading rather than going on your phone? This is just like, I'm very curious because this is a thing I definitely struggle with.
Yeah,
where
me
I find
too.
Myself on my phone when I'm like, God, I'd rather be reading, but it's so much easier and addictive to be on your phone. Mm-hmm. 52% of people said yes. I often find myself scrolling when I'd rather be reading. So clearly over half of our people,
we're trapped.
30% of people said only sort of. I feel like I got some new strategies since last year because I polled people on the same question last
year. Yeah, I remember.
And then no. 18% of people said no. I've been pretty happy with the balance. I'm proud of those people.
I'm really proud of those people. I know. I'm really aiming. That's one of. Well, I'll talk about it in the next episode. But that's one of my goals is to be better about that. Actually try in the new year.
We asked people about predictions. I didn't really go into this one.
Neither did I. No, I just went into the trends that people noticed for this year is what I looked
okay,
at.
Okay, so what trend did you notice this year? I asked people. Like, I noticed a lot of books with neon spines or something. What did you find, Ray?
Okay, well, a lot of people agreed with me that romanticy was like a huge genre. So
yeah.
I did a search for romanticy and 84 people mentioned that. But there's also a lot of people who mentioned romance fantasy or fantasy romance. Like there's different ways that people could say it. But basically that was huge. 64 people mentioned the word cozy. So a lot of people noticed that cozy was a big thing this year as well. It was one of our predictions in our last episode that maybe that'll be more of a thing next year. But it was definitely a thing this year as well.
Okay,
I thought this was funny. 21 people mentioned hockey romance.
I've seen that on Instagram a lot, people talking about hockey romances.
I hadn't really noticed that, but it makes sense. There's always going to be those niche romance things. Okay, this one person said not really, although you'd think from the Booker Prize long and short list that men called Paul are a trend of publishing. Three people mentioned the Paul thing.
It's true. So many Pauls.
Yes. Okay. Three people said something along this line. Sad gays and unhinged women. Love that. Mm-hmm. So sad girl fiction. That was definitely a thing.
Yeah.
And then a whole bunch of people also mentioned, this is more of like a publishing trend, which was books with paintings as covers. A lot
That's
of people
totally
noticed that it's like, I mean, it's been a thing, but a lot of people
For
mentioned
sure.
it this year as well.
Hmm.
So yeah, I
cool.
That was very interesting.
Okay. I did go through the predictions a bit. So I like that we both did the opposite.
Perfect.
Here's things that people said. 70 people mentioned the word dystopian. I think we're re-entering a dystopian era, said one person. 38 people said cozy, type things, that I saw. 25 people use the word climate. Some person said, I think we're going to see an increase in climate fiction.
Totally.
33 people said, with books like Fourth Wing becoming so popular, I think we'll see a spike in romantasy novels with dragons.
Definitely.
The word was dragons.
Ooh,
33
dragons,
people mentioned dragons. Some very specific ones. Someone said, I think pirate books will take off.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know where that came from, but I like it.
Yeah.
One person said, I think sports romance will be big because of Taylor Swift.
Ooh, that makes a lot of sense. And that's so kind of disappoints me, but it's true and makes a lot of sense.
So fascinating. And then the other one I wrote down was, this is really, really... Oh, okay, hold on. One more. I think sprayed edges are becoming slash will become more of a regular, a common thing on regular editions.
Okay.
That's interesting because it was like a physical book thing. But then this last one is, I think, really fascinating. I predict that Donna Tartt will announce her next book.
Ooh,
her previous books all came out about 10 years apart.
That's true.
1992, 2003,
2013. Yeah.
And now we're 10 years later.
It's 10 years, Donna. Let's go.
I actually think the other one was 2002. I just copy and pasted what they said. But I think it was the first gap was 10 years. The second gap was 11 years.
Something
so
like that.
So now 12 years would make sense or something. So
yeah.
That's very interesting.
That is very interesting. Actually, and one thing that I missed from the trends from this year that I have to mention is 50 people mentioned the word TikTok and 31 people mentioned BookTok. So all in all, 81 people think that, like, even just like in bookshops they're seeing the word TikTok more often, but also just like that's what's been trending, like that's what's popular obviously. And it makes sense and I only think that's gonna get worse.
It's gonna keep going. It's gonna keep going. Okay, this is the final question I asked. Any final reading thought that you wanted to share? And I yanked out a couple of my faves here, Raylene. I'm just gonna blast through these.
Okay.
I started reading while on the treadmill and that got me to read more and walk on the treadmill more. So that's a win-win.
That's good.
That's a life hack right there.
Yeah.
This person says, always check the library first.
Yep.
So true. Everyone should donate back to used bookstores when you don't want to keep the book after you read it.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. Never thought about that. Like, buy a book at the used bookstore, read it, enjoy it, and then if you don't want to keep it, give it back to them. Brilliant.
Yeah.
People should stop buying books from Amazon, says this person.
Good
and
stuff.
That came up a lot. People were like, I feel like people don't know how bad Amazon is. And
yeah,
I was like,
spread the word.
It seems like they don't. Like, Amazon and Audible, avoid at all costs.
Yeah.
As for a final reading thought, I don't really have anything besides wanting to share how fun it is to have a book best friend. Whenever I finish a book, I love ranting about it with my best friend, crying about the sad scenes, etc. And I was like, that's actually such a beautiful idea for a group chat. If you have a couple of friends that like reading, in the new year, start a group chat. And it's not a book club. Just every time that you finish a book, send a photo and be like, I just read this one. Here are my thoughts. I think that would be a really nice
thing. Just book chatting. Just a little book chat.
This person says, sometimes it's better to watch the film adaptation and not wait around to read the book. You can always read the book later.
It's true.
Like how that one contrasted the other person. Beat the book. Beat the film.
Yeah.
Ariel convinced me to get an e-reader after swearing I would never get one for 10 years. And she was right. They're incredible. And library books are so much easier to access now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
If you find yourself overwhelmed by choice like me, I really enjoyed just reading whatever was available and sounded intriguing through Libby. It's low stakes since there's no money involved and I can return it and get something else another time. Clever.
Yeah.
I got myself a waterproof speaker this year so I could listen to audiobooks in the shower or bath. I've found in the past that lots of speakers sound really muffled and you can't hear the narrator's voice.
Oh, 100%.
But this speaker is super clear and lets me fit that extra little bit of reading in my day. And they said it's the JBL Go 3 if anyone is interested.
Nice.
Not sponsored, obviously, but hey, listen, a person gave us a rec. Game changer, this person said in all caps. I live in a pretty small town in northern Manitoba and I've been using my public library for years. It's fantastic, but the book selection and new books is lacking. However, I realized this year I'm able to request books from other libraries in the province and they get sent up to her.
Oh my God.
So look into that if that's a problem that you're struggling with.
That's amazing.
And the last one that I wrote, make sure you're getting a library card for all the libraries you're eligible for. I realized that my town had two well-funded libraries that I could sign up for. And if you live in Nova Scotia, everyone in Nova Scotia is allowed to get a Halifax library card.
Oh, cool.
you're just allowed to walk up and be like, I live in Nova Scotia. And they're like, cool, here's a Halifax Public Library card.
Nice.
So many more books than like your local little library.
Yeah, okay.
The last one, a really bold goal. I mean, not goal, assertion. This person just said, wooden bookmarks are the best. Fascinating.
Interesting. I think I disagree, but I haven't used them enough to know for sure.
I haven't used them enough either. And now I want to get a little wooden bookmark and try it out.
I just imagine it would fall out. It would just fall out all the time because it's too thick.
I like that they like put it with a lot of exclamation
marks. I know, like, I would like to hear a little bit more about that.
Oh, there you have it, everyone. That was really, really fun.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Thank you so much to everyone that answered the survey. Over 2,000 of you.
Yeah, that's actually crazy.
That's crazy. And we're so grateful to you for participating because it was so fun to get to go through all the information and, share it back to everyone. If you are a patron of this pod, also thank you, because this is the last episode that's technically coming out this year. So I just thought we could do a little thank you to everyone that's been a patron this year. And I wanted to mention that we have a thing on our Patreon that obviously you can sign up monthly, but if you sign up annually, like if you were thinking, in the new year I want to sign up to an annual membership, you get a free month. So if you wanted to do that in the new year, give it a shot. We are now going to go record our Patreon mini podcast.
Heck yeah.
Movie tub. But it's got nothing to do with movies, because what we're going to be doing is we gave all of our patrons another little survey, and we're going to be going through that with everyone. So that'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
Heck yeah.
And we will see you in 2024. Woo!